irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. This show is definitely for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. For 8 years, our guests have provided advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Now, some of our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality television stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, dancers, models, musicians, comedians. We have it all. We even throw in a couple entertainment attorneys once in a while to just keep it going. Keep it going because you know you're going to get in trouble and need an entertainment attorney in your lifetime if you're in the entertainment industry. Now, what's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected to be on the show because they're at different stages of their careers, from professional, obviously, to once in a while we have a beginner on because we want to hear about the laurels and the trials and the tribulations that people are going through starting out in the entertainment business. So that means that we're definitely going to have someone on the show who can personally relate to you, and they're able to answer your show business career questions, either on the air, if you want to call in, or you'll be able to contact them directly courtesy of listening to our show. Now, if you missed any of our past shows and you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, you can always go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. And we have the specific title. So, for example, you want to pursue a career as an actor or a producer or a director. So we list the name of the person, the title, and their website address. So you can go directly to their website address. Oh, and then to the far right, you can click play, and that will play the show directly. So we ask a ton of questions that you want to know so you can play the show and get pretty much all the answers there. But then their website is there, and you can go and check them out and contact them directly. Now, Question Reality is the title you was searched by. Obviously, if you're going to latalkradio.com and check us out. Now, we're also available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get your free app, which is on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website, and it's located towards the bottom. And very exciting news, we are now currently booking for 2017. So if you have someone that you would like to refer who works professionally in the entertainment industry and wants to come on the show to promote their projects, my goodness, please contact us. Again, go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. That's separate from latalkradio.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Click the contact link, and there you will be able to contact us and hopefully come on the show. Now, today is the first day of the new year that I've been back. Well, actually, it's January, so of course it's the first week of the new year. Oh, I get so confused. Days come and they go, and it's just all a big blur. It's just blurry. There's been so many activities going on. You got your Halloween, and then the Thanksgiving, and then the Christmas, and the New Year's Eve. I think I'm still drunk from New Year's Eve. The wild turkey is still here. I'm still buzzing around. I don't know what the hell day it is. We have a lovely, gorgeous lady on the show today. Her name is Felicia Linsky, and you might want to go to her website right now. It's felicialinsky.com, and that's F-E-L-I-C-I-A, linsky.com. She's also on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, you name it. Just Google her and you'll be able to find her. Now, Felicia Linsky is an award-winning celebrity makeup, hair, spray tan artist, lifestyle designer, and motivational speaker based in Los Angeles. And she has worked on some of the biggest film and television projects, mega hits like the film franchise Star Trek, Magic Mike, XXL. Oh, my audience knows how I feel about Channing Tatum, so you know I'm going to be asking her some personals. Need some personal measurement sizes. No. Need some personal Channing Tatum questions answered. She's worked on Santa Claus 3, and some of her television projects include Parenthood, Trophy Wife, Mob City, one of my favorite shows, Raising Hope, Arrested Development, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. It's just a list. I could be here for an hour telling you all her projects. Her work obviously can be seen in film, television. She also does fashion print, On the Red Carpet, The Knot, Wedding Wire, and just a ton of other places. You know, credentials. So without further ado, let's talk to this hot chick, hot celebrity makeup artist. Welcome, Felicia. I'm going to say Zelensky. I don't know why I want to put a Z-E-L.
I like that spicy added addition to my name. Thank you.
Little European flair to your name. My goodness. Well, you know, we were just briefly talking before the show. We got to tell the audience how life works, how these things work. I met Felicia, I thought in the 90s, but then again, you know, I lose track of time. She actually corrected me and said it was the early 2000s. My husband was in a guitar shop. I don't know, fixing a guitar, buying a guitar. Cannot remember. But I happened to see this beautiful girl in there, and I'm like, wow, her makeup looks so perfect. And I think I asked her a makeup question, not sure. But we started talking, and it turns out, her makeup was perfect because she was a makeup artist. And we just kept in touch over the years. We have only met in person that one time. But for some reason, we just kept in touch. And sure enough, we just reconnected yesterday. And I had a cancellation. And she's like, I can fill in. And that's how you're here today. Correct, Felicia Linsky?
Absolutely, 100% correct.
Oh, and I love your name so much, I have to say the whole name, Felicia Linsky. It can't be just Felicia.
Oh, thanks, Priscilla Leona.
Now, a question for you. First of all, I have to know this. When you were a little Felicia, what was your first fantasy or dream job? I wanted to be like that lady on that cop show. I can't remember. I wanted to be a cop. And then next time I saw a show, I wanted to be a doctor. Next show, I wanted to be a stripper. Next show. You know how you have those little fantasies when you're little? Did you always know that you wanted to do makeup, or did you want to be something else?
No. Matter of fact, I'm genuinely surprised I ever ended up in this field. I grew up in the fashion industry, so I was surrounded by women's ready-to-wear and people who are dressing women, and I was surrounded by art, and I was surrounded by live theater, actually, because my parents were very much into the arts, thankfully, and supported the arts, so we got to see a lot of live performances from very famous singers to Broadway. I mean, my first Broadway show I saw was Hair when I was like 5 or 6 years old in New York. And I was like on the edge of my seat when they came out from under the canvas nude. Like, you know, I was just titillated by theater and live entertainment. But did I know I'd end up in it? No, but I knew that that's what moved me. And what also moved me was female comedians. I'd sit on the edge of my seat laughing at the Toadie Fields and the Joan Rivers and the Lily Tomlins and from the 60s. These women were just incredible, strong women that just made me laugh. And so unconsciously, You know, I had those kind of seeds planted. Did I know where they were going to take me? Absolutely not.
Take us through your life journey that led you to decide to become a professional makeup artist, hair and spray tan artist. Take us through that journey.
Well, here's the unconsciousness of all of this, because we talk so much about this in our, you know, in a lot of ways today, which is about vision boards and setting goals and dreams and, you know, making them come true. Well, you asked me what little Felicia did. Well, little Felicia at ages of 8 and 9 had already been recognized as an ability. I had a real strong ability as a little performing art kid, but not where you're putting me in commercials. It's just developing my gifts that were somehow naturally given to me. So my family, my parents recognized it and worked, you know, gave me that opportunity to be expressed, which is how you ended up meeting me, because I was playing the cello. I started playing the cello when I was a little girl, but I was also illustrating and painting and sculpting and, like, really developed all that. But at age 8, 9, I can tell you consciously that unconsciously I started putting up vision boards. And when I reflect back on those 8, 9-year-old vision boards, I had up poster art eventually within, you know, over those next couple of years, because it just kept expanding, of like the original cast of SNL and Blue Ribbons and architecture and places around the world and jewelry and articles. And long and short of it, I ended up coming out and winning awards in Los Angeles and Hollywood, whatever you want to refer to it as, with, you know, top-notch comedians in the business, and work with all the best, and things that I never, a girl from the Midwest who has no connection to this business, like, what? How does that happen? Right. And I was pre-med fine arts in my university level. So it wasn't something that, you know, I didn't know that I would ever get here. And I often think for every one of us who have, quote unquote, had the opportunity to successfully make our living this way, I know that, you know, La La Land is the perfect example of that currently, of the those who do and the those who don't, or what degree does that mean, you know, and what's relative to that human being. And this is very... This is one, if you're, I'm not even a gambler, this is like the biggest gamble one could take, I feel, is trying to make a living in a career in a business like this that I never imagined. Like, I'm not that classic makeup artist who loved, you know, the Westmores of Hollywood and loved all the monster makeups and studied all that and knew all the sculpture. I wasn't that girl. I didn't know anything about that. I knew about movies and filmmaking because I came up through the fine arts and then studied film and photography and story and editing and animation, and I studied all that along with performing in theater. And so I came to my, from my perspective, from a very different, not a different angle, because there's a lot of people like me out there, but different than like a lot of my peers in my immediate realm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, you've worked on my husband's favorite movie franchise, Star Trek. And we absolutely love Chris Pine as an actor. He's absolutely fantastic. And he really seems like, you know, a fun and nice guy. So have you worked on his makeup or Zachary Quinto when you worked on Star Trek? You did the reshoots, right?
So I did the reshoots. So I work with all of them, but Zachary was being done because of his special effects makeup, you know, to create Spock. Wow. So I never interacted with him, not because I don't do effects, but because Joel Harlow, who's up for now a nomination for the Academy for his work, and who requested me to come and do the reshoots and head up basically the straight, meaning Chris and Zoe and everybody else who was a part of that whole ensemble, who had to come back and do reshoots or pickups. And So yeah, lovely. And interesting enough, Chris is a perfect example of, like, you know, talk about having to, you know, there's no road, no journey. One can tell you how it's going to be. Here you show up to a job where it's never been more politically coded in secrets. You're looking at books of continuity that barely exist over a year's worth of work, that you're trying to decode names and character to individual, and you have to match, obviously, shots, and they're linking and, you know, everything up, and it's so technical, and it's so precise, and it's so, like, you have to be so on your game. And, you know, you're meeting people who you don't have these relationships with, but you're coming in and doing this, whether it's 3 days, 7 days, 3 months, whatever it takes to get these things completed. And in Chris's particular situation, you know, his hair had to, and sideburns were very important for, obviously, his character. And he had none. He was like a side of a wheel. You know, he was just clean. He was like, there was right. No hair. Oh. So between the department head of hair and myself, we were like piecemealing like a mosaic of gluing hair on his head. And then I'm, you know, from there sculpting and creating sideburns to match the needs of his character. And you're matching all this film that's been shot over a year in Vancouver and Dubai. Wow. So you have to be, you know, there's no, like, make it up as you go along. I mean, you're talking about historical characters with their own, you know, take on it. And then, like I said, matching other people. So he was lovely, considering everything he had to go through. And he was lovely, period.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm grateful that they were all, like, really lovely.
He seems like he's such a nice, fun guy. Like, he's just going to go with it. I mean, it's just, I see, that's the mark of a great actor. He just seems like, and again, seems is not reality, but you can pretty much get an idea. You really can if you follow their career and you watch him on interviews. And he just seems like he just rolls with it. If it comes, he deals with it no matter what. And he's not one of these divas who go, oh, you know, if he was in the makeup chair, what are you doing? You need to do this. Because, you know, you've worked on the stars. You know how they are. I have tons of friends who are makeup artists. And the stories, oh, my God. The people that they have to deal with, you know, some of them, they like to take over their own makeup. And they like to tell you what they want, even though the director wants something else. And you know how they are. So, but he seems like a person who would just be a perfect person in the chair. Just sit there and just do his thing and let you do your thing because you're a professional. So that's what it would seem like.
I think, you know, from the little bit of time that I ultimately ended up spending with him, you know, as a professional, I think he's very professional. I think he, under these circumstances, were also in a very precocious, you know, a precarious sort of circumstance that he had not ever really been faced with possibly before in his own journey as an actor. And so that tests people as their own selves, let alone their desire to, you know, do this job. And, you know, you see all sorts of things, and it's irrelevant to what I think or what I see, because I'm not inside that person. That's not my journey. My journey is my journey, and their journey is their journey. How we journey together in those circumstances is a compliment to individuals who have to come together as a team, because the truth of the matter is filmmaking as a whole is the constant recreating of the perfect wheel. And you're throwing people together with all these, you know, forms of expertise who are now basically creating something from nothing and trying to take it from point A to point Z. And the fact that that gets done successfully, so most, you know, is really just something to behold, and frankly, and yeah, it's an arts, and yeah, it's a business, and yeah, it's a business where people or companies or whomever can make a lot of money. But at the end of the day, you know, the fact that it ever gets off the ground and ever makes it to production and makes it to and through editing and marketing and distribution, you know, please.
Yeah. Oh, it's please.
A real crapshoot.
Oh, it really is. Oh, God. Getting the money is the worst part for, you know, beginners. Now, I am so bummed out about Anton Yelchin. Dude, I loved Anton Yelchin.
I never met him. He wasn't, and this happened before that. I mean, we shot before that happened, I mean. So, but he wasn't a part of it. They didn't need anything from him, so he wasn't there. So I never had the pleasure of meeting and working with him, though I heard anybody that I know who has was really heartbroken because he supposedly was quite an incredible human being.
Yes, I have a friend that's a makeup artist that worked on him in one of the other franchises. She said he was so lovely and fun, and he always came in with a joke, and he was always smiling, and he was so happy. And I think, oh, my gosh, why? This guy was so young. His career was already laid out. He was set for life with the Star Trek franchise, and he would have just, I mean, his acting chops were so precise, and he was such a great young actor. Oh, so I don't even talk about it because I'm just so upset. Now, let's move on to Channing Tatum. Oh, my God, Felicia, he is one of my fantasy men. My husband is a wreck over Channing Tatum. He is, you got the dream job of working on Magic Mike XXL. Well, we got to know what the scoop of that was like, working with these hot guys. Now, come on. First of all, did you get to touch him? Obviously, I hope you worked on his makeup. Tell me, girl. Tell me.
Oh, no. I mean, the thing is I'm like Magic Mike XXL, which I was a part of the franchise, so to speak. I was brought in as the key. I wasn't the department head, but I was already getting to be known as one of my many things that I do and can be, you know, looked upon for is my spray tanning. I ended up, I think it was around 2009, 2010. I mean, this was after years of creating a lot of my own body makeup concoctions for my actors and doing shows that, like, you know, basically they're supposed to be on a beach 24/7 or part and around it. So each and every actor had to, like, from head to toe be, you know, any skin that was exposed always had to have makeup. So when I got exposed to the opportunity to, you know, to actually do mobile spray tanning and I that I was exposed to, it ended up that I started working and traveling with this company. And what by the time Magic Mike XXL came along, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. I was hearing something on my end. So anyhow, so by the time that came along and I was offered the job or asked to, you know, if I was available, they had not had this process done the first round. I don't remember exactly what formulation was used on them or for them then, but it wasn't this. It wasn't spray tanning, I don't believe. I believe it was like, you know, spray on makeups or whatever, but I'm not certain. I can't be quoted on that. But so it was really about me creating a trust in these men to trust me to take really great care of them. And know that whether I was doing their face or not, like Chan, I didn't do his face and I didn't do his hair, but I maintained his body for the entire.
Well, that's the best part. What the hell are you talking about? Forget the face.
With everybody except Joe, every other man in that movie was really my responsibility. And, you know, as a professional person who is a makeup artist and as an artist, as well as a businesswoman, and growing up working with people, dressing them, and I was around a lot of nudity through my art form and classes, I should say. I know people get really titillated by this stuff. Yes, yes.
You've been around it. It's like one one looks just like the other one, but from a person who's not.
No, I don't mean, you know, everybody's, you know, beautiful in their own individual way and all that. But I have to, you know, I have to be a professional because that's what makes me get the perk, right?
I know.
I can't be losing my mind, you know, over people, whether I felt that way or not, because, you know, I mean, it's just not my way. I appreciate the fact that I am been in some pretty precious circumstances, but I have to tell you, my Magic Mike XXL work got me War Dogs with Jonah Hill. And Jonah, you know, is nominated, God willing, tonight for Golden Globe, and I traveled from here to Morocco with him and the crew and ended up, you know, it came out of, you know, nowhere, but he had this look that they were trying to create and kept trying to create and weren't successfully creating, and then I got recommended, and obviously because of his relationship with Chan and being recommended, I was brought in one night to take care of him. And that one night turned into, you know, 3 months of traveling, you know, all over, but becoming not just a spray tan artist for Jonah. I was also doing Ana de Armas in that movie as well, who's the beautiful Cuban female who plays Miles Teller's wife. And, it took me, one night took me into a 3 month full-time gig of, being a permanent makeup artist for the show, as well as maintaining their spray tans, which was, you know, the reason why I was brought on there. So there's a lot of good lessons, you know, not just for me, but I think in preparation of how you want to get through this business, you know, no matter, I think, what it is we're trying to do, whether it's acting, directing, being a makeup artist or, you know, a grip or an editor or whomever, you know, I think preparation and being prepared for opportunities are really important, and having the ability to offer services that are multifaceted are important, while being strong and all that, not just like having a toilet paper roll list of things. I'm sorry, go ahead, Priscilla, what's your question?
Can you describe for the audience the hierarchy in the makeup and hair business? You know, like there's a head makeup artist, a key makeup artist, there's different types. Can you describe from the bottom up for people who want to pursue a career as a makeup artist in hair, start from the bottom, what you would have to do to make it up to your position?
Well, so I'm that person. Like, I literally, you know, my journey is my journey, but I started from the bottom up, but I went straight to the top right at the very beginning, not intentionally, just because of where I was and the circumstances that were presented. But it wasn't without having had some experience under my belt. But how things go, you know, how the journey for me was is that after college, during college, I ended up being asked very randomly by a guy I went to school with if I could cut his hair. And that haircut turned into literally like me becoming this local college platform haircutting artist, where people would gather around with the soap operas in the background and, you know, it'd be a social thing. And mostly guys would end up getting haircuts from me. And it ended up that I ended up with this following of like 300 kids. And, you know, from that, I was being now asked to design the show in the theater. You know, they were doing Equus, the production of Equus, and I was asked to design the hair and makeup. And I was having a one-woman photography show all at the same time. And it was kind of mind-boggling because really I wanted to become the next Annie Leibovitz before Annie really was become a known name, you know, because I really like taking images of people like that and composing just really intimate shots. And so I wanted to like try to wrap this all together in one thing and not be a starving artist. So I went to beauty school, and thank God I did, because A, I loved hair and I thought that was really going to be my thing, even more than makeup. But the point was I didn't want to be a starving artist, and I had a lot of loans to pay back. So I knew I had to do something that could keep me in the realm of creativity and making money, but also could lead me to the doors that I wanted to, you know, have open up, which was film and television and fashion print and photography and all those things that I wanted, and theater, the things I loved. So how that all began for me was, while I was going to beauty school, I was also working for the Clinique Corporation at the local department store, and that local department store job offered me the opportunity to, while I was going to school full time, which was 40 hours a week, which is, you know, there's state laws that you have to follow. I was then doing a part-time 20 hours at the clinic because I needed to make a living and I needed to keep my hands and get educated that way. And that's how I learned skincare and makeup application and product, and as well as in my education, you know, with my cosmetology, but that was more hair. But then I was also learning things like about the conventions and product companies and platform work, and, you know, thinking about getting back into the fashion print with the magazines, meaning getting back because of my family history of being in fashion. And, but, you know, all of this was just like a throw into the air, and you never knew it would stick. And literally after I finished my education and I was ready to go out into the world, I ended up in the salon that I grew up in for 6 months with, like, basically my mentor. And I was, and yet I could only stay for 6 months. I could not stay in those four walls, not them personally, but I just knew I had to do something greater than that. And I started myself in Chicago selling shoes while still also working for Clinique and traveling. And then one day, funny enough, we went to do a test strand on my hair, which was pink. And imagine a pink test strand hair, you know, on my hair while I'm wearing a lab coat. Well, to Clinique, that was just not okay. And I got fired for that. And I was like their greatest salesperson traveling throughout the whole Chicagoland just for a pink strand of hair. And I remember being really, like, just kind of thrown by that and upset, and just knowing that I had to take charge of my life. And literally, when I left that store downtown Chicago, I reached out and called the photographer whose name I had been given, who I just thought, well, I got to start somewhere. And I called this guy and I started working with him. And one thing led to another that led to agents that led to, and I started building a portfolio, and that portfolio and my makeup kits. And I just started building jobs. And it was like I said recently to somebody, because I was consulting a young girl who was interested in getting into the business, I told her that my first 15 years of my career, which is now around 30 years, I bartered and basically gave away my services to build my skills and to get images and to get clients and to get jobs. And to, I could barely rub two pennies together.
Right.
But that's what it took.
Yeah. Well, now you're also listed as a lifestyle designer and a motivational speaker. For those who don't know what that a lifestyle designer is, what does this entail? A lifestyle designer? What do you do?
Well, for me, I coined that phrase several years, but actually probably going back to about 2007. I actually have always been interested in being an entrepreneur and having different ways of expressing myself. And I always look at things in different ways of how they can be used other than what they've been designed for. And then I think about my life and what I use and what I do. And then, of course, from a motivational speaking perspective, you know, I tie that in with my perceptions and perspective of things I've learned throughout my lifetime. So combined with all of this, my lifestyle designing, and getting to your question, is I've been on a journey, a quiet journey that hopefully is going to become much louder very soon and announced, of developing products that I really believe in, that create ease in people's lives. And so hence the lifestyle design title.
Okay. And now, what are the pros and cons, would you say, of being a professional makeup artist, hairstylist, lifestyle designer, just overall? What are the pros? What are the cons? If someone's thinking about pursuing this field, what are the good things and what are the bad things that they're going to have to deal with?
Well, the good things are if you're really passionate about this business and you get the opportunity to, you know, do it. And there is, it never ends the journey of like, you know, from day to day, who and what you are and working on and with and where. If you're passionately committed, then, you know, just know it's going to be an ever-changing road of opportunities with different people and different locations and different challenges. And it's all really about being able to, you know, to work with others who are all very egotistically, you know, whether they're trying to be consciously or not. Most are driven on some level by their ego and passion to be a part of this. Some for different reasons than others. Some because they want the accolades, others because they just can't imagine doing anything else. And some who are just riding on the coattails of like generations of other people. And, you know, you see it all. Some are very educated. Others have no education. And it's fascinating. It's a fascinating world. So the pros and the cons are I didn't know anything about this business when I got into it. I didn't know anybody in the business when I got into it. So for me, the cons were I wish I had, because I might have chosen differently. I think I would have chosen personally to get an advanced education in law and become an entertainment attorney and have the ability to, I mean, I could still produce and that's not a question. But I've always thought much bigger. And, you know, when you think bigger, sometimes for others that gets to be a little much. And Priscilla, you're a perfect example of somebody who thinks bigger and outside the box. So I know you get what I'm talking about. And as artists, most of us do think bigger and outside the box, but sometimes creatives get threatened by other creatives who are, you know, trying, and there's nothing to be threatened by. Like, we all have room for all of us to do what we want and need to do on this planet. Right. I personally really believe in that. Like, I can't take your power away and you can't take mine. That I'm a big believer in mindset of, you know, my mind creates my reality, your mind creates your reality. And so pros and cons are, the pros are I've learned a lot of those things. It's right. Just how to manage through my life while creating a career that I can have sustenance and pride in and actually say I really have created a career. I'm this week, funny enough, going to be celebrating 25 years out here. And that's in addition to my career in Chicago, which was like between eight years.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's like, that wows me. I don't know where that time has gone.
Yeah.
I know a lot of life has been lived.
Right. Now, let me ask you, Felicia, there are tons of people in this profession, tons of makeup artists, tons of people who do what you do. What advice can we give people as to how do they get jobs in the makeup business? And more importantly, what can they do to make sure that they're working constantly to go from project to project? What are the secrets?
I don't know that there are any particular secrets. I think it's being, like I said earlier, it's about being prepared for the opportunity when it arrives at your feet and creating those opportunities all at the same time. So, you know, a lot of the beginning of my career started out where, and continued to, and ironically enough, has never ended, may I add. cold calling, whether it's my peers or people in other positions, in addition to my peers, be it producers, directors, or other talent who may be connected to projects or that I do or don't know are connected to projects, but just staying in touch with. And, you know, and sometimes you get so busy, you can't do it. You're just in no, like, you can barely, you're working 90 plus hours a week. You barely have time to rest, let alone maintain the rest of your life, let alone be, you know, pursuing the next 2 or 10 things you're interested in. But really working on being, you know, the education is, it's like location. Education you can never have enough of. And experience, when I say education, I don't mean just school education. I mean getting around people and doing projects that you're around having to learn while you're getting to observe and participate and be of help. And, you know, whether you call that an internship or a production assistant position or, you know, or you're working at the local in a makeup particular situation, you're working either at the local department store or the local vendors who are serving the industry. So you're getting around things like products and people and, you know, getting in the know of the lingo and the language and, you know, you're reaching out to your periodicals, whether it's online for people who are looking to get started with, you know, one, do you want to get an education? Do you have an education in the arts? Have you gone to either makeup school and or have you gotten a cosmetology license and or both or none? I have to just say, for the record, from my perspective, and my perspective is not, you know, everybody's perspective, but whose is in life, is that I'm very grateful I got my license. One, I love doing hair as well as I love doing makeup. So it's never limited me in that way. But in the union, you're not allowed to do both. A makeup artist is only able to groom a man's hair as well as makeup, but not do woman's hair and makeup. And it's
what?
Things that...
I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean? What?
Well, it's hard to understand because it's unfathomable. And
I mean, I don't work in the industry of makeup, but what do you mean? If you have a license to be a makeup artist, you can't do a woman? What does that mean? What?
That what it means is, so for instance, I was doing Lily Tomlin and Prairie Home Companion. I was Lily's makeup artist for like 4 or 5 years, somewhere around there. So we were doing the movie Prairie Home Companion, and Lily was wearing this beautiful red wig. And the last few days, her hair artist had to leave for a personal reason, and Lily wanted me to be able to do her wig, and the union wouldn't allow it because in their eyes I was a makeup artist, not a hair artist. And even though I was licensed and even though I had headed up a lot of independent films as a union person, you're not allowed to do a female's hair. As a matter of fact, there's only one person technically in this entire business who is well known. His name is Roy Helen, and J. Roy Helen, and he is Meryl Streep's makeup artist, and he's the only one who gets to do both her makeup and her hair. It is something that, you know, on radio, I really don't want to like but I completely disagree with the concept of these, you know, but I have, you know, I honor it and practice it because that's what it is. But from a licensed perspective, I don't agree with it. And from a knowledgeable perspective, I don't agree with it because, ironically enough, I have a film coming out where I was asked, and it was an independent film, and I was asked by a huge effects designer, Christian Tinsley of Tinsley Transfers and Tinsley Studios. He was collaborating with the actor Stephen Dorff on creating a character that was a musician who had not pursued his dream, which was to become a musician. He was, you know, just somebody who performed at the family picnics kind of thing. And then a series of family tragedies happened to him. This is the outline of the story. And through that, does it come to him to basically pursue his dreams? And in the concept of this story, his best friend happens to be a filmmaker, so he goes on the road with him and documents his journey. And so this is basically a road trip movie kind of documenting this whole experience of this guy. And the long and the short of it, Stephen and Christian of Tinsley Studios try to come up with concepts of him not being Stephen Dorff. And the reason for this was because Stephen's real father in real life is a huge music producer and very well known. And his brother, Andrew Dorff, God help us, just unfortunately, tragically died over the holidays, was a huge music producer down in Nashville. And Stephen Dorff, the actor, wanted to be taken seriously as a singer as well as an actor. And as you know, that's not always an easy transition. So he wanted to create this character that went basically into a makeup effect. So he wasn't known as Stephen, but as Wheeler. And so we created this effect on him, including me being asked. Originally, I was going to apply all the prosthetics, but then I was asked to focus on the hair and create the look of Wheeler and his hairstyle. And I was given a raw hand, you know, custom-made wig that I then cut on Stephen's head and created this hairstyle that created the look of Wheeler, which is, like, I'm so proud of, I can't even stand it. But in the union, yeah, no, technically, matter of fact, I'm up for a nomination right now for consideration for a nomination for a commercial I did for Crest, creating Shakespeare.
Wow.
And the actor was hired literally like at 5 o'clock the night before we were going to shoot at 6 a.m.
Ah.
Vendors were, nobody was available. The guy, like, you know, it didn't matter how many ball caps and wigs I had, none of it worked. I happened to, thankfully, years and years ago, after I first came here, a very dear woman by the name of Diane Roberson's mother was the head of Universal, and Diane was my wig mistress on the Ben Stiller show, which was one of my first big opportunities out here in L.A. And I happened to inherit all of Diane's things, including things that went all the way back to, like, the Max Factor studio days. And I happened to go through my kits, where I found all these original hair pieces that I ended up cutting and sewing and styling and building into this actor's head of hair, which was, like, you know, an eighth of an inch or long at the long, at the nape, and the crown was, you know, just a couple inches longer,
right,
and had to use his own receding hairline, long or short. I mean, like, you know, the work that we do, you just never know what you're going to be faced with. And
Felicia, I am so, so sorry. I just got noticed that we're ending in 1 minute. Remember, I told you we got to end the show at 5:15. It's 5:49. I'm so, so sorry.
I love it.
We could talk about things forever. You have so much to talk about. We got 1 minute. I just want to point out that Felicia is going to be working on Westworld on HBO. She's going to be working on Shooter on USA. And she's going to be working on Wheeler, which is coming out February the 3rd. And I just want to thank you so much, Felicia, for coming on the show. You have so much to talk about. We're going to have to bring you back on so we can just talk some more, girl. We're going to have to
talk. I would
talk
love that. Thank you for asking.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Felicia has probably given you so much great advice on how to become a celebrity makeup, hair, and spray tan artist and lifestyle designer. Please go to her website, FeliciaLinsky.com, and check her out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. Just Google her. She's there. Thank you so much, Felisa, for coming on the show, okay? And we're going to have you back, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. And we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.